Good morning, podcast listeners, and welcome back to another episode of F-Words. Today, we have Sarah Berger joining us to talk about the recent movement of mental health in sports, specifically revolving around tennis pro Naomi Osaka and world-renowned gymnast Simone Biles. Sarah is an incoming junior at UF studying psychology. She is passionate about mental health and normalizing the conversation of mental health. She also runs a blog called Anxious AF. Excited to get today started. So Sarah, just want to preface the conversation. Thank you so much for coming on. Excited to have you on F-Words. I know it's a long time coming. How are you feeling about being on your first podcast?
First of all, I just want to say you're making my podcast dreams come true. Like, I've literally been waiting to do this. I'm so excited. So thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. But excited to kind of talk today. You know, to get things started, why don't we talk about your background around the topic of mental health and kind of its importance to you?
Okay. So first of all, I just wanted to disclaim and say that all the things I am going to talk about are 100% personal experiences. I just wanted to say that I have zero credentials. I have no way claiming to be a mental health expert or any of that sort of thing. But yeah, all of it is from personal experience. And growing up, I felt a lot of anxiety all the time. I honestly, up until high school, I didn't really understand why I was feeling so anxious. I never even had like a term to call it. I would feel kind of stressed, whatever. But in high school, I realized, hey, I have anxiety. It's okay. I'm just gonna run with it. And then in college, I kind of got more comfortable. And I really am very open about it. I have anxiety. My friends know I have anxiety. Delilah, you've probably heard my anxious spiel. But yeah, I think it's so much better to talk about it because so many people deal with it all the time. And I find comfort in talking about it because it's so normal. And like, people are like, when you talk about it and you're open up, when you open up about it, people are like, yeah, like I have that too. Like, it's so normal. I've never heard someone talk about it, you know? So I like to talk about it and see what other people think and, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I know that although you're not necessarily an expert by any means in the space, you kind of, you know, act as a little bit of a resource for especially people like us that are pretty young and in college that may not even have a name for what they're feeling sometimes. And obviously being in college, things definitely get stressful and anxiety can kind of like occur in like the most random states. And for a lot of people, you know, being away from home for the first time to that extent is kind of like the reason why maybe those symptoms are exacerbated a little bit. So definitely appreciate your candidness and kind of talking and opening up about your own experience. And also just to everyone listening, just want to preface the conversation again by saying that by no means we're saying that we're professionals in any way, but definitely a conversation today that we'd want to talk about. And because of Sarah's interest towards this topic, wanted to bring her on. And then to kind of segue into the next part of the episode, you spoke a little bit about why mental health is important to you and your background kind of dealing with your anxiety. Would love to kind of just talk about the importance of mental health in general. I know you're super in tune of kind of the progressiveness that's revolving around that topic. So would love to get down into that.
Yeah. So 100% with in a normal year, everyone obviously faces their own challenges and everyone has highs and lows, but especially in this COVID year, if you didn't have anxiety, you most likely have felt anxiety at least once during that because it was such an anxiety inducing time. And I think people are starting to definitely realize now that like it is such an important topic to talk about. There are so many people that deal with this and that I guess before they were a little nervous to come forward and say like, hey, like I'm not feeling 100% right now. And I feel like a good news and something good to say is that people I think are starting to realize like it is really okay to take a mental health day, take a break if you need to, which is great. But yeah, I definitely think a lot of people suffer with whether it be anxiety or just like having a bad day could definitely just stem from, I think it's just really okay, I guess is what I'm trying to say, to take a mental health day. And I think that narrative is definitely shifting where you're able to more so now. And I think that's just really great. And I love the way that the direction that it is taking, but obviously there's so much work to be done with the topic we're going to talk about later with Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka. Obviously there's so much.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And also just like it's, everyone is different. And so, you know, everyone's mental health and kind of anxiety and other things that they're feeling may kind of arise in different ways. Like mental health isn't a straight line. It's kind of different for every single person that deals
100%.
With something that's going on. And I think that the most important part as we kind of move into like the next few years is understanding that mental health is as important as physical health, and it does have that same amount of, you know, pressure or like effect that it could have on someone. So why don't we talk about anxious AF for a second? Talk about kind of why you started it, what you write about, and how it helps you.
So I started a blog. It's called Anxious AF. I love it. It is so fun to just really. Well, a lot of people say who know me personally, when they read it, they hear me speaking. And I think that's true. I think the way I write is really just like a conversation, and it's really raw and like exactly what I would say out loud to somebody. I started it. Well, I had the idea of starting it in quarantine, but put it off until a few months ago where I was like, all right, I'm going to start. It's going to happen. And honestly, I'm really, really happy I did it. I mean, the first blog post I wrote about it was like how I put things on hold. And I definitely do that because of my anxiety. And I realized that, of course, I gave myself the leeway of saying, okay, I'm not going to do it right now because it's making me anxious, but eventually I'm going to do it. And so I did it. And I'm just so excited about it. But also, it is something that I get a little insecure about, or something that makes me nervous or anxious, lack of better words. But I do love to do, and I do love hearing the feedback of what people say. Like my friend recently told me that I made the word anxiety less scary. And like, obviously, like that's a small compliment, but like that means the world to me, because somebody can say anxious and feel okay about it. And like, that's just a small step of changing the narrative and making it okay. And I think what you said, that mental health is not linear. It's not linear by any means. Some days you can have great days, and other days you can have bad days. And that's all okay and all encompassing of mental health, because sometimes you're okay and sometimes you're not. And people just kind of have to run with that with you, you know, like people just have to be understanding of how people are feeling. And I guess in my blog, I kind of just say like, this is how I feel. And I'm sure some of you guys can relate, and it's really normal. And starting to just, I guess, normalize the concept of not being okay all the time.
Definitely. And it's awesome to see how like the support you've gotten just as a friend. I know that it's really important to you to be an open arms, for lack of a better term, for people that are dealing with things. And it's really cool to see that even like, you know, your blog by no means is like the biggest mental health blog on the planet, but like, because of just like everyone reading it that, you know, like it's definitely helping like a small percent of people. And that's really cool to see, because I know that you would want to help as many people as possible. And starting from a small point is the only way for that to happen.
100%. And if I reach one person or reach one aspect of someone's life, that's worth it to me. Like, I just think that I'm so obsessed with doing it because people have reached out to me and really said like, thank you, like this has really helped. And obviously that feels great, but like also it's so therapeutic to talk about it and just like free it out there, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it just like, it's really an awesome outlet to have. And also like, if I can help one person say the word anxiety without getting nervous, that's awesome.
Definitely. Thanks for kind of going into that. Would love to kind of go deeper into the next part of the episode, which is really going to be focusing on the recent mental health kind of initiatives and movements that have been happening in the sports world. it's really kind of cool for me to be talking about these topics revolving Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles, because I think that when we think of mental health in sports, we most likely think of the four main leagues that we're used to seeing. Obviously, the NBA bubble was like a crazy experience for those NBA players, and the effect that COVID may have had on the NFL schedule, prolonging it so much, changes, especially also in college athletics. So excited to kind of pivot the conversation into two different kind of realms that I've never spoken about that much on F Words, revolving around two amazing, empowered, badass female athletes in the space, and kind of talk more about what they mean to mental health and people struggling, as well as what society is showing of itself and its understanding in mental health. I want to backtrack a little and kind of go into each athlete's kind of background separately. I by no means want to collate and group Naomi and Simone's feelings and events together, because I don't think they were connected at all. I think both athletes have a lot of pressure on their shoulders. You know, Simone being an Olympic athlete, Naomi too, but kind of in a different sense of just being a tennis pro at age 23. So to just get into it, want to start off with what happened with Naomi Osaka. Naomi withdrew from the French Open earlier this summer to focus on her mental health. At first, she announced she wouldn't talk to the press after kind of her matches. As you, if you follow Naomi, you know that she's a quiet person and shy around the press. So definitely she wanted to kind of move, you know, focus on the matches and make sure she wasn't feeling anxious or nervous about speaking to the press, wanted to kind of just focus all of her attention to what's happening on the court. After gaining internal pressure from the tennis tour, she withdrew fully, and she announced that she would be donating her fine to organizations that support mental health. And then kind of after that happened and the world was understanding how crazy, or I don't even want to say crazy because it should be normal at this point, but just the implications that that withdrawal would have, the meditation app Calm announced that she would pay her fines. This was a really cool kind of topic for me to learn about. I think as the summer has progressed and we're kind of in a state, like the world is in a state of like post-COVID, but like Delta variant lifestyle, everyone's kind of in limbo of how they should feel. So just kind of seeing Naomi take a stand for herself and, you know, putting it out on the line, like I'm a young woman in this space. I don't want the tour to control me. I'm my own person. I'm Naomi. This is me. Take it or leave it was really cool for me. What were you kind of thinking during this part of the summer?
So I think that she did everything she needed to do for herself. And I think that is such a selfless act. She realized that she couldn't no longer be in that organization. And so she took herself out. And I think that's perfectly fine. With speaking is such a hard thing to do. I mean, people seriously got so anxious speaking. I'm anxious speaking right now. Like, so she signed up to be a tennis player, and so that is what she's doing. And I think that she should not feel any pressure if she is so uncomfortable speaking in front of the press or the format of the press. I read that somewhere that she wasn't calling out the media. She was just saying the format of the media gave, like, it, I guess it stressed her out. But I think that all these people put these athletes under a magnifying glass, and they are supposed to perform well and then speak well and then do this and do that. And it's just making so many other people so much money. And like, those people seem to not care about how that's making them feel. And I think that if Naomi Osaka needed to, one, not speak in front of people for her own mental health, and then two, she had to take herself out of the, what did she take, was it in
the French Open,
like if she had to do that, then she had to do that. And I think that's enough reason for anybody to say, hey, like, I am not feeling great right now, and I gotta do something for me. And that's not to say that's a selfish thing at all. Like, doing something for yourself is not selfish. Doing something for yourself is the only way to go through this world, because at the end of the day, who's going to fend for you, you know?
Definitely. And I loved what you said about kind of how the media had implications and thoughts of what was going on, especially, you know, with Naomi being relatively shy. I definitely want to put a pin in that and come back to that later after we kind of discuss what just recently happened with Simone Biles. So to kind of backtrack to my listeners, if you don't know, Simone withdrew from a few events at the Olympics this past week. This opened up an entire conversation about perfection in gymnastics and the physical risk that not having your mental health in alignment could, you know, have on your body physically. It opened up about kind of the importance of making sure both your mental and physical health are in check when you're performing gymnastic techniques and making sure that, you know, you're safe. Simone even kind of went out of her way to post a video of her undergoing kind of what her performance is like when her mental health isn't, I guess, for lack of a better term, like on point. She kind of spoke about how this phenomenon is called the twisties, and a lot of other gymnasts have opened up on social media about how, like, this isn't a fake thing and, like, it definitely happens. You know, this morning it was announced by U.S. Gymnastics and Simone that she'll be performing, she'll be performing in the vault competition. I'm not sure when that is, just because, like, the Japanese timing of all the events are throwing me off. But she'll be back kind of in the next few days, I'm assuming, if not tonight. And that's pretty exciting to have her back in those events. You know, this was also another incident or event of kind of athletes putting their mental health before both young, Black, powerful women in the space. So it was really cool to kind of see this all transpire and the support she's gained as well.
100%. I think it's such an important thing to say, especially that she is a young Black female athlete, and the pressure that comes with that is something that I cannot even understand. Also, Simone has worked for this for her entire life. She's started from really young, obviously, to now. Like, if she's saying that she has a mental health related issue and she needs to take a step back and take herself out of a situation, 100% we all need to say, wow, like, she must be really feeling something and really going through something, and that empathetic aspect of things really should come into play here. And I think that, and I know she's played through so many physical injuries. I'm pretty sure she had a sprain or something last Olympic go around, and she played through that. So clearly, if she needed to take a step back from a mental health related issue here, she must be in a lot of pain. The only thing we know is that she said that it was mental health related. We really have no idea what's going on right now. So I think that as supporters and as people, we need to be empathetic towards that and understand, like, hey, like, she needs our support right now, rather than saying, hey, what's wrong with you? And I think that's flipping the narrative of saying, when someone says, I have a mental health related issue, instead of pointing the finger and saying, what's wrong? Hey, like, what do you mean? Rather, like, I think the better way to go about things like this is, wow, she must be really hurt right now, and I really want to be there and support her any way that I can. And, like, obviously, if you're close to Simone and you're friends with her, I would personally probably reach out and be like, hey, like, I know you're going through a lot. If there's anything that you need from me and that I could be there for you, I would love to do that. And
yeah,
I think it's all about flipping the narrative. And personally for me, I mean, I played basketball growing up, and anytime I got into my head at all, and I'm on the floor the whole time, like, I'm not flipping in the air. Anytime I got in my head, my performance was automatically 10 times worse. And as an athlete, I completely do agree that it could totally mess up your performance. And at the end of the day, you can get really hurt, especially when you're flipping in the air, doing all these tricks to Simone Biles' level. I mean, she's amazing. Like,
yeah.
And so when I'm sure that has to be so scary to be in the air and not know where the ground is and not know where the ceiling is. I mean, I've never done gymnastics, but I can imagine that the twisties would be a horrible thing to experience.
Yeah, 100%. This is a perfect transition in kind of the next part of the episode, where I really wanted to focus on the response that both of these athletes have gotten. Obviously, the media plays a large part in how the general public thinks of both them as people and competitors, honestly. And it's kind of just definitely wanted to go into, you know, if you're playing high school basketball in Boca and your performance is going down because you're feeling a certain way, you know, how are these people who are on the biggest stage of the world right now in the Olympics with everyone from all over the entire world watching them compete, you know, how does the media play a part in how the general public views these people, both negatively and positively?
100%. I mean, I played basketball in high school and I also did cartwheels during the practices. So I really was not a serious basketball player by any means. And even when I played basketball and I had those games where I was not feeling my best mentally and then I was performing badly, we all know those car rides home where it's just, you feel horrible because you didn't play well. You're sometimes hearing some feedback from whether it be a friend or a parent, whatever, and you just know that was not your best game. So I couldn't even imagine the level that they feel from the media, from themselves, from all of that. It has to be stressful. That's all I have to say. Like that seems like a lot. And so the media, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of negative from the media, if we're being honest. I've seen a lot of like, she's taking mental break or mental health break. And I've seen mostly supportive from the media, which is, I love to see that. I mean, I'm sure there's some media that's like not being so nice, but I do like that I'm seeing the media being really receptive to these kinds of stories. A lot of her teammates are being really receptive. And I think that's all that.
Definitely.
That's all going in the right direction.
Yeah.
As for.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to hop in here. It's interesting because, you know, Simone right now is a little bit more on like a team setting because, she's at the Olympics, so she's competing with other people, and it's kind of more of like a camaraderie thing. She's there with everyone, but Naomi, on the other hand, you know, tennis is super individual. I just finished watching her documentary, and it was really interesting to kind of see how, you know, she functions in competitions. And what was really interesting to me of what you said of like, when your head's not in the right space and like you don't perform to your best ability, the fallout of that after competition ends. You know, her coach mentioned that when he was new to her team and she first lost, I think at the Australian Open in 2020, everyone kind of warned him like, yeah, like don't approach her type thing. Like she likes to be alone. And so I think there's definitely different implications of kind of what it means, whether being on a team or competing individually. But, you know, also for me, kind of being more involved in the sports media space, I have seen a lot of negativity revolving around kind of their withdrawals from competition, which is honestly, for lack of a better term, pretty fucked up because it's like, it's not like these, you know, writers are understanding firsthand what the pressures of Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles, two of the most famous athletes in the world, are kind of feeling. I do think it's really cool, of course, the positive reception that they've had. And I think it does, you know, open up and comfort a lot of people that are maybe going through the same things and weren't maybe as confident in themselves to kind of admit it to either themselves or other people what's going on personally.
100%. And I'd be completely ignorant to say that there's not negative feedback. There totally is. I think that as for the team versus individual aspect of things, I think that every single person has ways of coming down to their like mind, the being the most mindful that they can be in like post game. If you are feeling like, for example, Naomi Osaka needs to be alone, I think that's her way of coping and being okay. And I think that all these athletes have their own ways of coming down and just being like, okay, like I need to like sort through this myself, which I think is really important to know about people. Sorry, my dog's running. It's really important to know about people when you're near them all the time, especially in the sports aspects, is there, it is very high stress. I'm not gonna lie. Can we get, like, I don't even know where I was going with that.
No worries. Yeah, I totally understand. There's a lot of pressure in the media. There's a lot of support coming out of the media, which kind of brings us into our last kind of technical topic. You know, how does the sports world view mental health? You know, I've seen a lot of progress just in the last few years of kind of how that conversation is changing. We have athletes like Kyrie Irving, who literally stopped playing in the NFL season because he just needed a break. And, you know, you don't, you know, from the general, you know, as a sports fan and a sports consumer, it's hard to think of these athletes as like not celebrities. You know, like to us, they're glamorous, their social media pages are insane, they're doing the coolest things, they're on the best teams, they're on the world's biggest stage for their specific sports, but we really don't know what's going on behind the curtain. And you know, I'm guilty of celebritizing these athletes as well, because it's kind of hard not to, you know, especially the American culture is to look at these athletes as, you know, the best of the best, and they are. But the other flip side of that is, like, to them, yes, it's their passion, yes, it's their dream come true to play for the NBA, go to the Olympics, everything, but you know, at the end of the day, it is just a job for them. And yeah, you know, we would never look at our schoolwork or our jobs as like our whole world, or like we shouldn't. So kind of just taking a step back and trying to be empathetic towards how these athletes are approaching, you know, their work and their day-to-day job. And, you know, they need their bodies to compete. And if they don't take care of their bodies, mine included, then what are sports at the end of the day?
100%. And I think that it's really important to realize that at the end of the day, everybody started off as a little kid with a dream and a passion. And I think that these athletes have worked their whole life to get to where they are now, but with that comes their own life stories. And I think that it's so important to recognize, and anybody you're around, that everybody has their own life stories and life experiences. And, you know, it's just really being more empathetic towards people and understanding, like, I have no idea what this person has seen in their lifetime, so I'm not going to pretend to, but I will be with you and I will like walk with you.
Yeah.
Side note, there's an amazing song called Walk With Me. It came out around COVID and it's literally the best song ever. And it really is just like the most empathetic message in the world. Like, and let me think, I think it's Gold. It's Walk With Me by Goldford. It's the best song ever. And I don't know, I just think it's really important to be empathetic to all aspects of human beings, especially in the sport, well, not especially, but also in the sports world, because yes, they're performing, they're putting on a show. And as the consumer and as the person who's watching, you're like, you're really hoping that they keep playing through things, but at the end of the day, they have to put themselves first, and they should. And mental health is something that you might not be able to physically see, but it is definitely there. And it is something so important to recognize and understand and kind of be like self-aware of when you need to take a step back and understand it's too much. And I think that Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles have done it in such a respectable way. And you don't need to explain yourself to anybody. And I think that they've even like gone ahead and made people aware, like even more than they had to. And yeah, I think that we aren't owed anything. If somebody needs to take a step back, we are not owed that explanation, but they so graciously have. But you know, at the end of the day, they're people.
Yeah, definitely. And to kind of just wrap things up on my end, I want to commend the two athletes. There's probably no chance in hell that they'll ever listen to this podcast, but, you know, I just appreciate the support of everyone that is listening to it now. you know, Naomi and Simone, proud to have them as kind of role models. I've mentioned it a few times on F Words how even though I'm not necessarily a crazy female athlete that's going to the Olympics, I definitely know what it's like to be some sort of an underrepresented voice in the space. Obviously, you know, not as underrepresented as some groups, but still kind of understand that perspective and definitely want to continue to kind of talk about these topics on F Words and show the importance of, you know, mental health, empowerment, being a role model. So yeah, I know we went today a little bit deeper on F Words, but excited to kind of have Sarah here to walk it through with me and talk a little bit more about the implications that these two events kind of had on both ourselves and the world around us. So thanks, Sarah, for joining in. And if you have any closing words, please feel free.
I just want to say thank you so much for having me on here. I just want to reiterate that 100% of these things that we talked about or things that I brought up were 100% my personal experiences. But I also do think that Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles have changed the way that we will view sports and mental health in itself. And I love them, and I hope they do well in all their future endeavors. And yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. And where can people find Anxious AF if they're...
So I have a website called anxiousaf.weebly.com, and I also have an Instagram called anxiousaf.blog, and you can find me there.